the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
It's Friday, March 20th, 2020. Not much is going on.
No, everything is shut down.
Everything's shut down.
We're in the middle of a safer at home ordinance by every single government official in California.
We are currently under several different jurisdictions.
We got the city, we got the county, we got the state. Every single official has told us to stay home.
And they're all slightly different.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Because I was on a chat with some friends yesterday, and somebody was like, I'm getting different things from different people. And I was like, just do what the most restrictive one is. Whatever the most restrictive one is, do that.
What I don't get is that I thought we were all doing this already. So starting last Wednesday, Eric and I have been just kind of at home. I recorded my other magic podcast remotely, as we are recording this one remotely. And so I thought everybody was just staying inside. And then on a couple of grocery store trips, I was like, oh, people are not. People are out and about.
People are out and about.
And so it's not much of a change for me.
Yeah. I spent basically last Wednesday, once they canceled the Jazz game, that's when I went to the store. I went to the store to get a bunch of stuff. I had a whole grocery cart full of beans and Top Ramen and all that jazz, because I was like, this is wild. They canceled the Jazz Thunder game, and I was watching the pregame and put on their halftime show and everything was going on. And it's like, this is starting to freak me out. So I went to the grocery store. Actually, that Wednesday, I went to four grocery stores.
Oh.
Because I will never not be the most ridiculous shopper.
Uh-huh. So you did some panic shopping.
I did some reasonable panic shopping. I got 10 cans of beans. I got fresh greens from Trader Joe's. I wanted to find the best deal on beans, basically. So I went to two different Mexican supermarkets, and one of them had a better deal on beans than the other, so I bought the beans there.
I went to the grocery store last week because so we've been staying at home, social distancing for... Eric and I have been doing it now for 9 days.
Yeah.
And because of that, my sleep schedule has been very just whatever.
Oh, I'll bet. I mean, we're so fucked over here in sleep.
So, I just will be up at 5 in the morning. So, last Wednesday or Thursday, I went to the grocery store at 4 in the morning, which was great. Also, not as empty as I thought it would be. It was still pretty crowded. And then, the next day, all the grocery chains are like, oh, we're actually going to go to 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. opening time. And that is an 8 a.m. opening time, might as well just be you're at the DMV.
Yeah.
By the way, is somebody landscaping?
Yes. The gardeners are landscaping.
It just seems maybe you could let that go.
Yeah, I think so too. This is very silly. But yeah, they're right outside my window right now.
Oh, perfect. Although I guess these guys need to make money, and if they weren't landscaping, they would not be making money.
That is true. And to all of our listeners, if you hear this, I've turned the gain down on the mic so low that we should be able to edit out the sounds of the.
Yeah, well, I can probably put some kind of filter on it or something. I mean, it'll help if they move away from the window eventually.
Yeah.
Just to get everybody up to date, they canceled the rest of the season, or they suspended.
Suspended.
Well, actually, I have no idea what's going to happen. It's definitely not. We're definitely not picking up regular season games anytime soon.
No, it doesn't feel like this is going to be something that's going to be over until at least May or June.
Yeah.
Even
so,
then, over doesn't mean over. It means something different. It means
right.
We will have to change a lot of things about the way things are.
And does it mean that? Let's say it all, this is not going to happen, but let's say by May 15th, they're like, great, we flatten the curve. We can resume some games. We'll resume games in practice facilities without crowd, right?
Yeah.
Even then, it's like, are you like, okay, we're going to have a week of games and then we're starting the playoffs? Because everybody that's on the bubble of that 8, 7, 8, 9 seed, whoever's in number 8 is like, yeah, let's start now.
Well, Chris, here's the deal. I actually have received this news. I've gotten the power, and I've made you commissioner of the NBA. So you get to decide when games start again, what happens. So I want to hear your pitches.
Okay, well, how many games have we played?
60-something.
60-something. So I would say...
More than the lockout season.
65. A lot of teams have played between 64 and 65 games. Okay, so what I would say is we're going to play to... How many games did that... did the Warriors have the regular season record for... Did they beat the Bulls?
They did. They went 73-9.
We're going to go to 73 games.
Okay.
Just in tribute to the last great team of the league.
Okay.
So everybody comes back. We're going to play between 8 and 9 games in practice facilities with no crowds. Everybody has to be tested. Everyone has to go into a sequestered, tested and be negative, no symptoms for a week. Then you go to practice field, you play 9 games.
Okay.
Then we start the playoffs. We're going to go, let's go 5 game series for the first and second rounds just to make it fun.
let me take your idea and let me add a little thing to it. Yes. You said 9 games. I'm going to say 8 games.
Okay.
You play 2 games against each of your division rivals.
Okay, that makes sense.
Right? They take all the teams and they take each division and they put them in one spot, right? All of those games get played in one spot.
You all, you go to the Agua Caliente.
Exactly.
They put you in a part of the casino hotel that's blocked off from everyone else.
That's not being requisitioned for hospital beds.
Yeah. And then you can't leave. You got to play your 8 games over... I don't know, 12 days or something.
I think 8 games would probably be two weeks. Like 2 weeks or like at least either like 14 to 16 days.
Yeah. Then we do some 5 game series until third round, which is what? Is that conference finals or conference semifinals?
That is the third round is the conference finals.
Yeah. Conference finals, we go back to 7. I mean, with teams taking off, we'll give you a week back from the lockout to have training camp, and 2 rounds of 5-game series, you're going to have some weird results.
this is going to be, this is already the weirdest season, I think, in the history of the NBA because of how it ended before we could have anything.
Well, I mean, already... This season started with, like, Free Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And then Kobe died.
Yeah.
And then, this is probably the weirdest 12 months of most of our lives.
Yeah.
And I was in New York for 9/11, and this is somewhat weirder because it's so, like, changing everything about the way that we live. And for... what appears to be like probably, I mean, I honestly think that we're in for like 6 months of this.
Yeah. And it's not good. I have been coming around to that. I'm worried about, I'm worried about my family. I'm worried about my partner's family. There's just like, there's so much stuff that like, you know,
yeah,
these 6 months are going to be very, very hard for people who can't work, people who don't have the ability to go in and do anything. I mean, I know, you're an actor. They can't film anything right now. There's nothing.
I know. Actually, we're in the middle of pilot season, so my assumption is all the pilots that I didn't book aren't getting shot.
Well, so, you know what? I'm going to say this. Any pilot that didn't book you is a bad pilot.
Well, I mean, you say it, not me. I mean, I feel fortunate in a lot of ways. One is that I don't... I'm already freelance, so I'm very used to this way of living already.
Yeah.
Also, I was already in like 3 weeks of just being at home, secluding myself because of the Bell's palsy that I had.
Yeah.
So I'm actually pretty emotionally prepared for what's happening right now in a way that I guess I have underestimated how sort of, aside from like people are having significant like financial issues because they're just not able to get the hours of work that they need to get to pay their rent. But even the people that is not an issue for, just the isolation of being at home is a problem for some of my friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I do have friends that are more I have friends that are like, I got to go out. I like to go out to the bar every single weekend. And those people are in for a rough time.
Yeah, I mean, bars, I don't, you know, bars
will not exist anymore.
Well, I think it's important to say, you know, like, neither of us are experts on this. I think this is all just kind of like best case deducing. But bars probably won't exist until the vaccine for this comes out. And then even then, there's a good reason to like keep this whole situation in mind when you're going out with people.
Yeah,
this is going to turn so many people into germophobes.
Oh yeah,
right. Like
the same way that 9/11 turned people into like Muslim racists.
Yeah,
people are going to be organists against germs.
I mean, I'm, you know, I'm already, you know, nervous about going outside. I'm nervous about, you know, seeing other people, which is like such a wild thing for somebody like myself, who's a very social person, loves going places and being around people. And, you know, used to go to the movies 2 times a week or more.
Oh, by the way, are our A-list memberships automatically suspended?
They are automatically suspended.
Okay.
Yeah,
good.
So I got a little notification from A-List that was like, oh, yeah, we got you. Don't even worry about
it. And they're like, you can watch this movie on demand or something.
Yeah, you could pay $20 to watch this movie on demand. It's like, well, I could pay $20 to watch movies at the theater. I'm not going to anymore.
Or you pay $20 for a seed box.
Yeah.
Hop on some torrents. I really think they should. I demand that they release Quibi early.
It's coming. It's going to.
You got to do it. If you work at Quibi, you got to be like, let's, this is the time for streaming services.
Here's the thing. It's just not ready. I mean, I know. You used to work in tech. You know that nothing is ready until the day or a week after it said it was ready.
I know, but they could release like a little preview or something. Like, I feel like the,
every single one of their shows is shot in such a way that you can't watch it on anything but the Quibi platform.
That's true. Yes. Yes.
You need to be able to like rotate it and all sorts of stuff. So like, There's not a good way to watch Quibi unless you're watching Quibi. Like it just won't make sense for you to watch the show on a YouTube page or something.
Well, like I predict that Animal Crossing is going to be like the most played game of the 2020s.
That's so crazy. Are you an Animal Crossing guy?
I am not, but I ordered it because I'm like, why not?
I've tried to get into Animal Crossing on GameCube. I tried to get into it on the DS. I tried to get into it on the Wii, and it never stuck with me. I could never do Animal Crossing.
Prediction, it will stick this time. So the league is suspended. Rudy Gobert tested positive.
Yes.
Donovan Mitchell tested positive.
Yep.
4 Brooklyn Nets players tested positive.
And the only one who has come out and said that it's me is Kevin Durant.
And then 2 Lakers and Marcus Smart.
Yes.
Is that the current roster of people?
I believe that is the roster of people who have tested positive. There were some Nuggets staff or players who tested positive as well. So there's just a lot of people.
And we know that JaVale McGee, who has had respiratory asthma issues, did not test positive. However, I think it's not that crazy to speculate that probably every team has a player that's positive because the Jazz played the Lakers like as their last game before the shutdown.
Yeah, I think that this thing is a lot of places that people don't expect because some people react to it differently than other people.
Yeah,
or they don't get heavy symptoms, or they get small symptoms.
Well, and also you're talking about elite athletes who probably have very strong immune systems. I'm not personally worried about any of their health generally because they're probably the healthiest people on the planet.
Yeah.
But they've also come into close contact with probably more people than we have.
Yeah.
You know.
Definitely.
And if they've played, you know, you play one game in an arena and you shake the hand of the security guard, you know, the security guard that's keeping Spike Lee from coming into the arena, then like you could probably find a chain between that person and like thousands of people.
Yeah. And that's what a prepared and good governmental response would do in a situation like this.
But yeah.
We unfortunately don't have the tests, don't have the manpower, don't have the brains to do that at the top of our government right now.
Yeah. I really hope that I think it's good if the players, if they test positive, to come out and say it. I think it's good to be very public about it.
Because there's going to be such a stigma about this, you know.
Yeah.
It's going to be wild because the stigma is going to be so large, but so many people are going to have it. There's got to be something that happens to like decrease the stigma of having it, because we're just going to have to accept that social isolation and quarantine are things that happen to people.
Yeah. And there's certain people that cannot avoid it because of their life situations or cannot implement those policies. Okay. You know, anybody that's a nurse is kind of screwed. Like,
yeah.
This is your time that we really need you, and you're going to have to be on the front lines of it. It is interesting. I was thinking about, there's a thing called the just world fallacy, where you are always, sure, there's behaviors we can do to protect ourselves, but there's also just a factor of just randomness and luck in things.
Yeah.
And the just world fallacy is whenever you find out someone's positive, that you're like, okay, but what? How did they get it? Why did they do it? There must be a reason why they deserve to get it, or their behavior led them to get it. So, because that means that I won't. If I can construct a rational chain of thoughts as to why that person contracted the virus, that protects me somehow. And I think that's, like, there are things we can do, but I think that some of the stigma comes from, like, well, you must have done something to get it.
Yeah. You
know? And for considering that we were not testing for so in any significant way for so long, the thing that people might have done to get it was just like being humans. I don't know if you checked in with Reddit NBA.
I have not. Has it turned?
No, it's just it's like the content in the off season times a million, which is just like the dumbest, like what was the one? Somebody raking now?
Yes.
The one yesterday was Michael Jordan gets fouled on a late game dunk attempt, but makes it anyway. And what do you think the clip was?
Was it a clip from Space Jam?
It was the end of Space Jam.
Okay.
A movie I still have not seen in my life, and I guess I probably will see during this lockdown.
Now's the time. Hey, maybe the theaters can release Space Jam 2 early.
You know? Oh, that'd be good. I do think that a Space Jam 2, let's say, like, when was it supposed to be released?
This summer.
Maybe
next summer?
Let's see. Let's see the release date for Space Jam. I mean, Frozen 2 got released. Oh, it's next summer.
Next summer. Okay, all right.
But something like Space Jam 2, something that's supposed to come out this, like, say, June, you know, like Uncle Drew 2 or whatever. Why not, like Mulan and No Time to Die, the Bond movie, both postponed?
Yes.
And to me, I'm like, it's so optimistic that you postpone until the fall, because I don't know that the fall is going to be any better. Why not just release it as a streaming thing and let us all see it? I mean, I guess I'm probably going to watch Uncle Drew at some point now.
You definitely have to. You got to get your Uncle Drew download and make it happen.
I mean, we can also do a series of basketball movie reviews.
Ooh, we certainly could.
I mean,
there's got to, because here's the thing. The last movie I saw in theaters was The Way Back.
Oh, how was that?
Dear reader, let me tell you, I loved it. It was good. It was a fantastic, fantastic movie.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, it was not what I expected. I expected it to be, like, fine and, like, a good tale about basketball. And it's not. It's a story about a man who deals with addiction in a way, and addiction, pain, and loss, and grief in a way that I didn't expect. And he doesn't succeed, and it's heart-wrenching. And I mean, I'm a cry guy in movies. I cry all the time, but I cried a lot during this movie.
Yeah, you were who they based those characters, the cry guys in Mario, on.
Yes, exactly. They had the shy guys, and then the ones you can defeat easier because they are crying all the time is the cry guys.
Okay, I guess I'll watch The Way Back. For a sports movie that I would recommend also that was truly a wonderful movie is McFarland USA.
Ooh.
With Kevin Costner.
Okay, I'll have to check that one out.
It is a very good sports movie, considering that almost all sports movies are exactly the same.
Yeah.
But we could watch White Men Can't Jump. We could watch Hoosiers.
Because I've never seen White Men Can't Jump.
Oh, my God. White Men Can't Jump is the best... might be the best sports movie ever made. It is the most fun basketball movie that I've ever seen.
Hell yes. Is Half Nelson a sports movie?
No, that's Ryan Gosling.
But yeah, he's like a drug addict teacher.
Does he play basketball in it?
One of his students plays basketball.
Maybe. I've never seen He Got Game.
I've seen He Got Game.
I would say technically Escape from L.A. is a basketball movie.
Okay, all right. Because Escape from New York is not a basketball movie.
That's right.
Yeah.
Escape from L.A., one of the jigsaw-like challenges that he has to win is to make a full-court basketball shot.
That's so funny.
It's really bad. we got Uncle Drew. We got... it's not a fun movie, but The Basketball Diaries with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. Love and Basketball.
Never seen that.
Oh, my gosh. Gotta see Love and Basketball.
Amazing Grace and Chuck, which is like a family drama starring George Gervin, I believe. Ooh,
that's so funny. Thunderstruck with Kevin Durant.
Ooh, I don't know that at all. I've never seen... wait. Am I about to do that? Berenstain Bears thing. Is there a Shaquille O'Neal movie or not?
There are two Shaquille O'Neal movies, and neither of them have anything to do with basketball.
Okay.
I guess there's a third Shaquille O'Neal movie, and it's called Uncle Drew, because he's in Uncle Drew.
Wait, is he a genie in one, or is that...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and the movie is called...
Kazan. Okay, and Sinbad is not in a movie.
No.
That's the
Berenstain Bears one.
Okay.
The Sinbad one. There's no Sinbad movie like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of good basketball movies we can watch. I feel like there's multiple. Teen Wolf 2?
Teen Wolf 1 is a basketball
movie. Oh, Teen Wolf 1 is a basketball movie. Okay.
Yeah, Teen Wolf 2, he probably joins the football team.
I recently learned that the TV show, and maybe we can watch the pilot of it, the TV show One Tree Hill was originally just a basketball show.
Yeah. There's another basketball show. Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Yes, yes. Have you seen the insane heart transplant scene from One Tree Hill?
No. Oh, my God.
Everybody just go to YouTube, and this is a scene that started an episode of Winter Hill way later in the show. I only just learned about this. And just Google Winter Hill heart transplant and just know that it was not intended as like a comedic scene. It's intended as an
incredibly dramatic scene like the rest of...
dramatic and intense and strange, but not like this is a sketch comedy show.
Okay.
And it is very much a sketch comedy moment.
That's amazing.
Also, I want to highlight that Casey sent me a good highlight reel for Simbular.
This was very funny. I follow a couple of the Sacramento Kings SB Nation guys, and one of them tweeted this out. And it is the absolute perfect highlight video.
Yeah.
Because it is the 15 seconds that Simbular ever played in the NBA. He made one hook shot.
Uh-huh.
And they play it, and they have
it's great, yeah.
Oh, it's so good. You got to watch it.
Can you retweet that from our Twitter?
I can, and I will. It's very good.
Yeah. What else do you think we should talk about while this is all happening?
Have you been playing Jackbox games with anyone?
I have not. Have you successfully set it up on Twitch?
I did. So I have them all on my my PS4. So I've been doing it through my PS4. And PS4 and Twitch get along pretty well. And it has been quite a respite and fun way to like do something silly with people while we've been stuck inside.
I think I have some of them on actually on my Mac. I have them. I don't have them on PS4, but I have them on Switch. Can I put my Switch on Twitch?
If you have a if you have a capture card.
Oh God.
Yeah, I know.
Right? I think I actually do. I have a thing that can capture from HDMI.
Yeah, that'll work.
But it also means like moving a bunch of crap around and
yeah, I mean it's a lot. The
oh, can I go? Can I go from a Switch Lite to HDMI?
No, you cannot.
Fuck Nintendo! God damn it! Yeah. That Switch Lite is very adorable and fun, but like is like hand kneecapped in so many annoying ways.
I mean, it's a Game Boy Advance that you can play Switch games on. That's just it.
I will say that's also why I ordered Animal Crossing as a physical cartridge because now that's I'm on the Casey
guy.
Lawrence.
That's my guy.
I'm on the Casey Lawrence bandwagon because if I get on a plane with Animal Crossing, which I won't be doing anytime soon, I can't really play it.
No, I mean that'd be no fun. So I'm happy to say that when you can get on a plane in 12 months and you have forgotten that Animal Crossing exists, you'll be able to play Animal Crossing.
Also, I've trying to slay the spire with the Watcher character.
I don't have it on my PC, so I have not been able to.
Oh, is that a PC only character?
PC only right now, yeah.
Oh God, it's hard.
You're not getting into that rage stance and trying to find your way through.
Well, it's one of those things where, like, with all these games, I don't really. I do a poor job of intuiting the best builds, and sure, I can go look up like a net deck of essentially of what cards are stronger than others, but then it doesn't feel as I don't know. But then it does feel fun to just like kill everyone, so I should probably do that. But yeah. Right now, I have no idea really which cards are good or bad, so I'm just kind of taking them. And it has some mechanics that there's a particular mechanic called Scry where you can look ahead in your deck and discard some cards if you want. And I'm kind of like, I don't really see what is so. I don't see why I should spend energy to scry, generally.
Yeah, usually it's just like you've already played your good cards, so scry all the cards that you don't want and play those good cards later.
Yeah. You said you also had some other thoughts about podcast ideas for the lockdown.
Yeah, so I wanted to, like, I think that the basketball movies thing is a really good idea. Talk about a basketball movie every week. That'd be really fun. But I also think it'd be really fun to talk about, you know, maybe some of like what our favorite like memories of basketball is, because that's all we have right now is what are our memories of basketball. So I want to ask you, what's your favorite game that you've ever attended?
Oh, I haven't really. So I in my whole lifetime, I've probably only attended between 8 and 10 actual NBA games.
Uh-huh.
So this would be. Okay, it'll be tough. There's three contenders.
Okay.
One of them is the game we went to.
Yeah.
Because it was the Boston Celtics, and I think the Celtics were better than the Lakers generally that year.
Yes, they were.
It was at Staples Center, and the Lakers, I want to say, squeaked out a pretty close game.
It was very close, and Kyle Kuzma took over in the fourth quarter and played really, really well. And that was back when Isaiah Thomas was still on the Celtics.
Yeah, so that's one of my favorite games. I will say another one of my favorite games is the last time I saw Kobe play, which was about a month before the end of his thing. And I actually made like a vlog of it at one point. I'll send you that link and we can post that up. Yeah, it's not interesting, but I was glad that I got to see him play in his last season. But I think maybe, and you guys will love this because it's a very Chris Grace Schadenfreude thing. One of the more enjoyable games that I ever saw was the Washington Wizards at the New Jersey Nets.
Oh.
In Michael Jordan's, one of his seasons with the Wizards, where I believe he scored 8 points and they got trounced. So the one time I ever saw Michael Jordan play live, he had like one of the worst games he's ever played in the league.
And that made me so happy.
It was so enjoyable to just watch him just like score single digits and like miss like 18 shots.
Yeah, that makes me so happy that you got to live out your hater's dream of watching Michael Jordan suck real bad.
Yeah, very fun.
Well,
how about you?
My favorite game that I've ever seen live was the when Kobe scored 62 and three quarters against the Mavericks.
Whoa, that's amazing. You saw that live.
Yeah, we were on break from college, and we came back, and it was a game in December. And we came back up to L.A. From San Diego, and I went with my girlfriend at the time, her friend, and another friend of ours, and I think his girlfriend, too. And we were all five of us sitting up in the upper circle at Staples Center. And he played so good. This game was amazing, right? And it was like the crowd was going insane for how good he was playing, especially because this game was a blowout. It was not close.
Right.
And so he got that 62 in three quarters, and everybody was just like going nuts. And then he didn't play the fourth quarter, and it like nobody actually booed, but it felt like the crowd was like ready to boo to get
him. Right.
Kobe was, he was sitting because there was no reason for him to play other than that we wanted him to score 500 more points. It was so cool.
That's the thing about that Raptors game, is he actually needed to be in the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the Raptors game. 62 by the third, it's not likely, but it's not impossible for him to have scored 38 points in one quarter.
No, I mean, Klay Thompson did that, right? 38 is his number for points in a quarter when he had that ridiculous quarter where he made every single shot he took. He was not going to get to 100, but the funny thing was that he had outscored the Dallas Mavericks by himself. At the end of the third quarter, it was Kobe 62, Dallas Mavericks 61.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and you know, you look up at the scoreboard and you're like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Is that a Smush Parker year?
That was definitely a Smush Parker year. And even if it wasn't a Smush Parker year, it was a Smush Parker year in our hearts.
I want to look at the box score for this game. This is December 20th, 2005.
Yes. So that I was a freshman in college, and we had come back for Christmas break.
Okay.
And Smush Parker played 29 minutes and 20 seconds.
Are you looking at the box score?
I am, yeah.
Okay, I was going to quiz you.
Oh.
How many other players scored double digits on either team?
Got it. Now know the answer.
One of them is pretty... You would assume that Dirk Nowitzki scored double digits.
Yes.
Although he did not have a good game. He scored 18 points.
God, nobody on the Mavericks had a good game. They played so terribly.
Well, one person had a great game for him.
Who? Devin Harris?
Devin Harris. I mean, you know.
He was fine.
Wait, there must have been some Mavericks-Nets trade at some point.
Yes, there
because
was.
Because Devin Harris and Keith Van Horn are on this team.
Yes, there was a Mavericks-Nets trade. Don't you remember who it was for?
Let's see.
He's a current assistant coach for the Los Angeles Lakers.
Mark Aguirre? No, I don't know. No,
Jason Kidd.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, the Jason Kidd trade to Dallas was involved Keith Van Horn.
Oh, okay. So that's interesting. So Kidd never played. So Van Horn and Devin Harris were not on the team that went to the finals against the Spurs.
Correct.
Interesting. Well, cool.
Yeah, and so this was actually one of the rules that made it that you couldn't sign and trade players. You couldn't sign and trade players for way more than they had in the past to make the trade money work. Because Mark Cuban gave Van Horn just a shit ton of money, and then he was never really going to play again.
Right, to balance the salary that was going out.
Yeah, exactly.
Keith Van Horn, you know, had a very good career. I think he did very well for himself.
Yes.
Because he was a good college player.
Yeah.
Never like a significant NBA player, really. Well... actually.
Keith Enhorn was a really good player.
And yeah, he's a 20-point player.
I mean, if you want to remember a guy, Keith Van Horn was definitely a guy, and he played fantastically for a really long time.
I mean, he was in his second year in the league, was scoring 22 points a game and 9 rebounds a game.
Yeah.
Most teams today would be like, I want that guy.
Yeah, because he had a really good career. I mean, he played for, was it like 7 seasons and change, maybe like 8. And averaged basically double digits the whole time.
And was he not an all-star at any point?
I do not believe he was an all-star.
Let's just see who was on the East roster for the 1999 all-star game to see who kept him from getting in. I don't remember how the voting worked back then in terms of positions.
Starters were voted by the players, and you had... 2 forwards, 2 guards, and a center.
Okay. And he would have been a forward, I assume.
Yes, he was a forward.
Okay, here's the... Let's see. Ray Allen's a guard.
Yeah.
Vince Carter, forward or guard?
I think Vince Carter was a guard.
Good Lord. Dale Davis?
Yeah, but you had to look at the season Dale Davis had.
Yeah, he was probably a center. Did he have some incredible season?
No, he was Dale Davis.
Oh wait, this is 1999. I need 80. I need 98.99. I'm looking. 98.99. 98.99. Oh weird. It's this. Okay, let me look at it. This site is not letting me look at that.
Oh
wait, the 1999 All-Star Game was canceled.
Whoa, because of the lockout.
Is that why?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh well, this is a perfect thing to talk about now.
Okay, so we had lockout all-star canceled, and that's what robbed Keith Van Horn of his lone all-star appearance. The league should have named all-stars. I think that year he might have been named all NBA.
Maybe. Okay. Oh boy. So yeah. Did they not even have the... It seems like they didn't even finish the vote, because I can't even find like... This was the roster that was supposed to play.
Well, no, the lockout was at the beginning of the season.
Oh, it was at the beginning of the season. Remember? So wait, how does he have stats for that year then?
No, the lockout was at the beginning of the season, 98-99, and they only played 42 games.
So they picked up after the All-Star break. So he had a great short season.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. So now in 1999-2000, the next season, he scored 19 points and had 9 rebounds a game. All right, so now let me look at the 2000 East forwards are Vince Carter. This is the voting.
Yeah.
Grant Hill.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Latrell Sprewell.
Okay.
Marcus Camby. And this one I'm shocked by because I don't remember what East team he played for. Sean Kemp.
Sean Kemp played for the Cavs.
Oh, Lord. There's no way he had a better season than Keith Van Horn.
Ooh, I mean, we're debating this, but
let's take a look.
He probably did.
1999, he scored 18 points a game and had 9 rebounds a game. So the same.
Yeah.
And he shot a blistering 41% from the field. Oh, this is going to become the Keith Van Horn podcast. I can already feel it.
Oh, no.
I mean, also, Keith Van Horn was like, it's his third season in the league, so he has no, like, respect, you know?
I can't get any respect around here.
But Keith Van Horn definitely had a better season than than Sean Kemp. Now let me look at this Marcus Camby 99-2000 year.
Also, are you sure you're on 99-2000? Because the last time he was an all-star was 97-98 for Sean Kemp.
He wasn't. I'm saying he was fifth in the voting for East forward, but like he definitely got more votes than Van Horn did.
Got it.
Yeah, I believe from this that the starters are Vince Carter and Grant Hill, and I have no idea if Latrell Sprewell actually made the team or not, because then it's coaches and players pick or something.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying that Keith Van Horn should have gotten more votes than Marcus Camby, Who? Oh, see, Marcus Camby was playing for the Knicks, so that helps, I guess. But Marcus Camby
overlooked Keith Van Horn.
Marcus Camby scored 10 points a game and had 8 rebounds a game and got more votes. Oof. Although probably coming out of college and playing for the Knicks, I'd say out of college, Marcus Camby was probably a more popular player than Keith Van Horn.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And
Camby went to Georgetown, right?
Camby? I want to say he went to like Kansas or Kentucky. Hmm. But I remember him being more prominent in like March Madness.
UMass.
Oh, UMass. He played for Calipari, I think.
Yeah.
I remember him having more of a presence in college basketball. I think Van Horn went to like UNLV or something, or or UTEP, I want to say.
Utah, just regular old Utah.
Oh, he played for Rick Majerus.
Yeah.
One of the hot basketball coaches.
Oh, there we go. That's my guy.
So, yeah. Good trade. I wonder what Keith Van Horn made. So you're saying he got a big salary bump to play for the Mavericks.
It's not that he got a big salary bump to play for the Mavericks. It's that he was traded from the Mavericks to the Nets, and he got a salary at all when he was going to retire. And so he never showed up to like play for the Nets because he was done. He was out of the league. And at that point, and I think it was due to injury, and at that point the Nets were like, we're fine. We wanted to do this trade anyways. But everybody else was like, it doesn't work. They circumvented the salary cap. So there were some penalties, and they had to figure out how to make it work.
He collected salaries from a lot of teams up until 2008. This is bizarre. He made $88 million as an NBA player.
Yeah, that deal he signed with the Nets in 2001 was a like 2000-2001 was a
big deal. So this is the deal. So then he's on. So did he ever actually? Well, no, he must have played a little bit, but
he did not play for the 2007-2008 Nets.
No, I'm just saying in 2005 is the Kobe game we were talking about.
Yes.
That season, he was making $15.6 million.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's that deal you're talking about from 2001.
Correct.
Good job. That's what I mean when I say that he did well for himself.
He did well for himself. Good job, Keith Van Horn.
$88 million, nothing to sneeze at.
I wonder what Keith Van Horn's doing now, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure he's probably, I'm going to say he's assistant coaching somewhere. He seems very right for a college D2 coaching job is my... That's my guess.
Okay, here we go. Keith Van Horn now lives in Bomar, Colorado with his wife and 4 children.
Okay.
He helped coach his basketball teams of his 2 daughters. And he co-founded the Lincoln Hills Fly Fishing Club.
He's got
a real estate investment firm, a school for kids with special needs, a mobile software company called AccuWorks. They created another mobile software company called Branded Business Apps. He runs the Colorado Premier Basketball Club, a nonprofit youth basketball program involving 1,000 kids from the Denver area.
I will say that his Twitter handle is coach_Keith44.
Aww. I love
which,
that. That's
sweet. Which means he's probably got some coaching aspirations.
Yes, he does. But I think it's more just for kids.
Yeah. Coach Keith, show us a dunk. Did you ever have a basketball coach that was able to dunk?
No, never.
I did on a little, what do you call it? The equivalent of Little League, but for basketball. I mean, in our area, it's called Little Dribblers.
That's so funny.
But our coach,
Hermosa Beach Youth Basketball.
Our coach could dunk, and we would often ask him to show us that he could dunk in practice, and he would. And our team had a cheer that we would do coming out of timeouts. And this is so pragmatic of him. And we did well as a team. Our team did very well. The cheer is, we make layups. We make layups. We make layups. That was it. That was his guiding philosophy for the entire, like, the Warriors have, like, a sophisticated offense, other teams might have different philosophies about how to approach it. His offense was, we make layups.
That's That's so funny.
Because at the youth basketball level that we were at, where no one knows how to play basketball, there are a number of open layups that get missed.
Of course. We make layups, and when we don't, we get rebounds, and then we try those layups again.
Yeah, so we would just run the layups, and it was in our belief system that we made the layups, and we actually did very well. I don't remember how well we did, but...
I love it.
Well, Casey, we're at 45 minutes.
I think that that probably takes us into where we need to be. Well, you got any shows this week?
I don't, although I think next Wednesday... If you guys go to Instagram.com/magicstoryteller, I think I'm going to be an online guest on a magic show.
Ooh, that's fun.
I'm not going to be performing, but I will be some kind of guest. Also, why don't we pick what movie we want to watch this week?
Okay. I would love to watch... let's just make it happen. Let's just make it happen. The movie that we're going to watch this week is White Men Can't Jump.
Yeah! This movie, I will say, inspired me and my friend Ron. We would play pickup basketball on the weekends. It inspired us to bring a jam box with a tape of James Brown songs that we would just play while we played pickup basketball, and it makes all the difference.
Amazing.
It's so much more fun. So everybody, I wonder where we can watch this. White Man Can Jump is the movie of the week. Let me see if it's available anywhere. You can get it on Apple TV for $4. There's nowhere that's streaming for free. the other thing that came up was a movie called Lord, All Men Can't Be Dogs.
Yeah, I love that movie. That's definitely a movie.
Anyway, White Man Can Jump is our movie of the week. You know what? If you don't have $3 to rent it from whatever this Microsoft thing is, Microsoft Store.
Microsoft Store. I think you could go on your Xbox and download it.
Yeah, there you go. White Man Can Jump. Watch it before our next podcast. I can't wait to hear what Casey thinks of it.
All right.
All right. The landscapers are back. We got to get out of here.
Catch you later.
And we'll see you next time.